Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert on whom they help and save us forever. Faith goes to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our
Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. As we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Lutheran Reformation, we look to the Holy Scriptures to see what God says about three vital and interrelated topics: grace, faith, and the Holy Scriptures. When we examine the Bible to see what God says, we are led to affirm and confess together the three pillars of the Reformation: grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. We are saved from our sin, from death, and from eternal damnation by God's grace alone, for Christ's sake. We receive this forgiveness and salvation through faith alone, and not by any good deeds we do. Scripture alone is the source and standard of everything we believe, teach, and confess about God and how He deals with us. Last week we considered grace alone. Today we consider faith alone. The central issue of the Reformation was the correct understanding of justification. The Protestants, led by Martin Luther, and the Roman Catholics took opposing positions on how sinners were justified by God. To justify means to declare righteous. When God declares you to be righteous, you are righteous. God's the one who determines this. Both sides agreed so far. Where they differed was over the question of the righteousness. What righteousness is that? Well, for God to justify someone, for God to say that someone is just or righteous in His sight, requires that that person have righteousness. If there is no goodness there, how can God say that that person is good? If there is no justice there, how can God say that he is just? If there is no righteousness there, how can God say that he is righteous? Solomon set down what is just and right in these words recorded in Proverbs 17, verse 15, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." It is an abomination, an offense, a scandal to say that the wicked is righteous. There must be a real righteousness if there is someone to be justified. If there is no genuine righteousness upon which to base a verdict of justification, then that verdict is an abomination. God is just. God cannot say that someone is righteous if that someone is not righteous. It would be a lie, and God does not lie. And that's why Rome condemned the Lutheran teaching that a sinner is justified through faith alone. They insisted that it could not be through faith alone, because without good works, one cannot be righteous. And if one is not righteous, not even God can say that he is. Since sinners are by definition unrighteous, God cannot and would not say that they are righteous. For this would make God guilty of what God condemned through the pen of Solomon. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul had perceived this objection to the gospel when he wrote his epistle to the Romans. In our text for today, Paul says clearly that God justifies him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly. But how can this be? The ungodly is ungodly. He does not know God, does not worship God, does not trust in God, does not do a single righteous thing. How can God justify, declare to be righteous, the ungodly? But Paul says he does. How is that? Paul says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted as righteousness." How can faith be counted as righteousness? A condemned sinner believes. Not only does God not condemn him, God regards his faith as righteousness. His faith is reckoned as righteousness. What is this thing called faith? It must be a very good work indeed. But it's not. Paul is speaking of the one who does not work. He writes in the previous verse, "But to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." Works are utterly excluded when it comes to a sinner's justification by God. Works have to do with earning something. You do the work, and the one for whom you work must pay you for your work. It is his debt. It must be paid. You earned it. Works earn. Faith isn't a work. Faith doesn't do anything. What does the apostle say? To him who does not work, but believes, his faith is counted as righteousness. Now, how can faith be righteousness? It isn't doing anything. Clearly, this righteousness is not a righteousness that we can achieve by any amount of work. Faith doesn't do. When Paul says that faith is reckoned as righteousness, he cannot be saying that faith plus works make us righteous, because he just said that it is through faith and not works. He said, to him who does not work. How can faith be reckoned as righteousness? Not by anything faith does, but by what faith receives. Here's how we Lutherans confess this in the Formula of Concord, one of our written confessions of faith. Faith justifies not because it is such a good work or because it is so beautiful a virtue. It justifies because it lays hold of and accepts Christ's merit in the promise of the Holy Gospel. For this merit must be applied and become ours through faith if we are to be justified by it. Therefore, the righteousness that is credited to faith, or to the believer, out of pure grace, is Christ's obedience, suffering, and resurrection, since he has made satisfaction for us to the law and paid for our sins. That's from the Formula of Concord, Solid Declaration, paragraphs 13 and 14. And I'll put it into plain English. Faith does not justify by what it does. It justifies by what it receives. Christ is righteous. Christ obeyed. Christ, eternally begotten of his Father, born of the Virgin Mary, true God and true man, submitted to the law. The law he had given, the law we had disobeyed, he obeyed. His obedience was perfect. He fulfilled the requirements of all of the commandments. He neglected nothing. He obeyed in thought, word, and deed. He obeyed wholeheartedly. He submitted humbly to the law of God and the civil authorities, to the law of love, to the holy and immutable law of God that determines what is good and what is bad. He obeyed. There is nothing lacking in his righteousness. He is righteous, and he did righteousness. He didn't just talk about it, as folks usually do. He didn't come into this world to condemn anybody. He came to submit to the law, and by his submission all the way to his death on the cross, he not only did everything God commanded us to do, but he suffered everything that we deserve to suffer on account of our sins. He did it. The one who does not work but believes in Jesus does not work because he believes in Jesus. Jesus did the work. The righteousness that God reckons to us when he justifies us is the most holy obedience and suffering of Jesus, who offered up on the cross what we owed to God. He offered it in our stead as our champion, and as surely as Christ rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, so surely has God justified us who were ungodly, lost, condemned sinners on their way to hell. Faith doesn't trust in what it does. It trusts in what Jesus did for us. Faith mixed with works becomes works, and when we come before God asking him to treat us according to our works, we come to God asking him to condemn us for our sins, and he will most certainly oblige. We are justified through faith alone, not because faith is such a good work, but because faith holds on to him who did the good works that were necessary for our salvation. We are justified through faith alone. Oh no! Rome objected and still objects. The Eastern Orthodox objected and still object. Many so-called Protestants objected and still object. Oh no, you can say that we are justified through faith. That is so. But you cannot say that we are justified through faith alone. Oh no, God requires obedience. He requires discipleship. He says that if anyone wants to be his disciple, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow him. So, you Lutherans who speak of justification through faith alone, why, you don't understand the cost of discipleship. You promote cheap grace. You're just looking for excuses not to do the good works that God requires of you. To which we reply, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. We will not be removed from what God's word says. Why is that? Because we're stubborn and unreasonable? Well, there's nothing wrong with stubborn if it's stubborn faith, and there's nothing good about reasonable if it presumes to stand in judgment over the written word of God. We will not be removed from what God's word says. First, because God says it and that settles it. Second, because we are not justified. If we are not justified through faith alone, then Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, does not receive the glory that is his due. He offered the obedience that constitutes our righteousness before God. He suffered the curse under which we labored. He did it. He did it for us. To say that we must do something to get it is to deny that he already got it. It is to insult him. It is to diminish his obedience and suffering. It is to say, thanks, Jesus, for all you did, but just in case you didn't do enough, I'll have to add my own works to your work to complete what is lacking in it. Oh, what utter arrogance for a sinner to claim that his sin-soaked deeds can be placed alongside of Christ's pure deeds and to thereby obtain a righteousness that Christ hasn't already obtained. There's a third reason why we will not be removed from our confidence in the doctrine of justification through faith alone. This teaching is what our hearts need. This teaching is the only possible consolation when we are facing temptation, loss, pain, heartache, and most especially a conscience that hurts and accuses us. We are lost if we must depend on our good deeds for God to justify us. We will never find any true peace. We will be lost in our own doubts and struggles until we finally just give up and throw God away from us. For who can tolerate living with God without knowing that he is gracious, that he reckons us to be good enough for him, good enough for heaven? We are righteous. We don't have our own righteousness that comes from our obedience. That kind of righteousness can't pass God's test. We have Christ's righteousness that covers us as a spotless white robe of innocence. And there's one more reason why we will hold on to this precious teaching of justification through faith alone. When God tells us that we are righteous for Christ's sake, and we believe him, from that faith, God works in us the desire to do good. We want to live a righteous life because we know we are righteous. The accusation that we who confess justification through faith alone do so that we may ignore doing good works is a lie. The truth is that only the righteous can do what is righteous. Only when God has justified you and you through faith trust in this verdict can you do anything that is good. When he has justified you through faith alone, then and only then can you love him with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. We thank you for being our guests on Christ for Us. We'd like to invite you to St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview, 8:30 Sunday morning, Trinity in Sydney, 10:45 Sunday morning, and on October 31st, 6:15 at Trinity in Sydney, and again at 7. We'd love to have you as our guests as we celebrate the Reformation together.